See. Amen. Didn't you enjoy that today? Amen. That worship. I'll bow down before Him. I'll bow down before Him. How many know that's what it's all about? That's what worship is. Amen. You say, you know, well, I can't get on my knees. I can't bow down before Him like I used to. Well, you know what? My grandmother, she's in that shape. She can't bow down. She tells me a lot. She says, Ron, she said, I would love to get on my knees before God when I pray, but I just can't. And I tell her, I say, you know, it's we're overlooking things. We're overcomplicating things, you know. You know, even though you may not be able to bow down, physically, amen. But when you pray to God, your spirit is bowed down before Him. And that's what He wants, amen, is to us come, for us to come humble before Him. Amen. Humbleness, amen. That's what He wants. He doesn't want pride. The Bible says that, He gives grace to the humble, but He shuns the pride. But I don't know about you tonight, but I don't want to be prideful, amen, in my worship. I don't want to be prideful in my walk with God. I want to be as humble as I possibly can, because the humble ones, amen, those are the prayers that get heard. Hallelujah. Today I'm going to be in the book of Judges, chapter number 20. Judges, chapter number 20. Bring a message to you entitled tonight, this afternoon, When the Battle Seems Hopeless, Keep Fighting. When the battle seems hopeless, keep fighting. When you're there, just say amen. Judges chapter number 20. Amen. Now this is a long book. I'm not going to do any reading in particular. Just kind of going, and I'm just going to paraphrase and just kind of sum what the Lord would have us to know up tonight. Just for His glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Judges chapter number 20. Amen. Before I begin, I want to pray. Father in heaven, we thank You tonight. God, we praise You. Lord, we thank You today, Lord, for another opportunity to come into Your house, Father, to worship You in spirit and in truth, Father. God, we thank You, Lord, for the year of 2016 that had just passed. But God, we're thankful today, hallelujah, for 2017. We're thankful for the good things that are going to come. And God, we're looking forward, dear God, to the growth in You, hallelujah, that we're going to experience this year, God. Lord, I pray tonight, God, that You would just anoint me, Father, for just a little bit, God, to bring what you've deposited within me, dear God, for these people today. God, I give You glory, praise, and honor, dear God. I thank You tonight. And the church says, amen, amen. Before I begin tonight, I just want to thank You for Your giving to allow us to go to India. We fly out on the 30th from Oklahoma City, and we'll spend about 5 days on the ground preaching conferences and so forth and so on there, and fly back to the States. And it's all due to Your giving that allows us to go and allows us to preach the gospel. And we'll be spending some times in a few different cities around the area, and I would try to pronounce them, but I know I can't properly, so we'll just be in India. So amen. And so be in prayer. Amen. You say, you know, I can't give much. I didn't give much. That's not what it's all about. Amen. Your prayers is what it's all about. Your prayers is what's going to anoint us. Amen. Your prayers is what's going to keep us going while we're over there. It's going to keep us healthy so we can preach and see many people come to Jesus, and that's what we're looking forward to. And we thank You and we appreciate Y'all so much. You have no idea. And we love Y'all so much. Amen. And in Judges chapter number 20, with no further ado, amen, this one thing is for certain, that anytime there is a battle, know this one thing, that anytime there is a battle, there is always a reason. Amen. Can you say that with me? There is always a reason. There's always a reason. And in this particular case, amen, the Bible says some perverted men, amen, wanted the Levite, but the Levite's concubine's father would not let them have him. So the father sent out his daughter instead. The men took her and did with her some unimaginable things until she was just about dead. Then let her for dead at the front of the door. Now, there is always a reason for every battle. Remember that. Now, there are some reasons. Some reasons may be differences of opinions, some disagreements, some differences in beliefs, one wanting more authority than another, decisions or choices, some good and some bad. In this case, there are a bad decision that was made, and retaliation such as we have here in this story. Now, in verses number 1 through verse number 7, we find that all the Israelites came together after getting a piece of the concubine and asked the men what had happened. Then he tells them that the men of Gibeah, which belongs to Benjamin, wanted to kill him, but took and beat up his concubine at this time. And the Israelites were very, very mad and what had taken place. Now, you got to understand that in this point, the Benjamites, there were 400,000 soldiers in the Israelites' army. Okay? 400,000, I want you to remember that number right there. And then we go on to verse number 8 to verse number 11. Then all the people gathered themselves together as one big army and made a trip over to Gibeah to straighten this mess all out. Israel gathered their men together, went over to Gibeah, and asked for the men that had done the wrong. And they would not heed to their voices, and Gibeah wouldn't give them the men that had messed up. Now, so many times people make bad decisions, amen? So many times we all make bad decisions. But how many know that the grace of God is sufficient, amen? Aren't you thankful for that? That the long-suffering of God is sufficient. Then it goes on to say in the story that instead of Gibeah handing over the men, they decided that they'd get them an army together to fight Israel. We find that in verse number 15. And there were 26,700 men in the army of Benjamin. Now, there were 400,000 men in the army of the Israelites. And now we find just a small amount, only just a handful in the bucket of the Israelites. Okay? Now, there were 700 of these men who were left-handed, and the Bible said that when they'd cast a stone at a hair's breadth, they would not miss. And so, before Israel went out to battle, now listen to this from verse number 18, that before Israel went out to battle, they went to the house of God for guidance. So many times do we lack that part right there. Every time we come up to a battle, we want to fight things on our terms. We want to fight it the way we think it ought to be fought. So many times I found myself where I have failed and flat on my face, Sister Stone. I have found myself going into the battle without a plan, amen, and trying to just do it on my own. Anybody ever tried to do anything on their own in this house? Amen. You ain't got to raise your hand, but I know we all have tried to do things on our own. Now listen to this. We must take note from the Israelites. We must go before the Lord before any battle, before any trial or any decision. And God told them to send forth Judah first, because Judah means praise. When you send forth your praise first, it does something powerful. Your praise means you're thanking God for what He's doing at that particular time in your life. Your worship is thanking Him for what He's already done. So many times we think praise and worship are the same thing, but in essence they are two totally different things. One, amen, when you praise God, you're praising Him for what He's doing in your life. When you worship God, you're thanking Him and you're worshiping for what He's already done in your life. We need some people in the house of God today that will worship Him because of what they did for them in 2017, amen. We need some people in the house of God that will worship Him because of what, amen, that they brought them through, amen, the sickness that they've been healed upon, amen, maybe your financial difficulties that you've been brought out of, amen, but maybe there are some people in here that are facing some things, amen, in 2017 that you need to praise God for, that He's going to take care of you. Can you say amen? How many know God's going to take care of His people, amen? David declared, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. I'm thankful tonight to know that God cares enough about you and I to let us live victorious through Him. We live victorious through Him. But they sent Judah first. God told them to send Judah first because Judah means praise. Send forth your praise because praise me for what I'm going to do for you. Amen. Praise me because, amen, even though, amen, that they are very few and you are very many, amen, they could have, the Israelites, amen, could have went and could have destroyed the army, amen. They could have went just by themselves, amen, and destroyed the army without even going before the Lord. But do you know what? 400,000 men versus 26,700 men. Those odds, amen, were pretty well off for the Israelites. They were pretty well off. But they still went to the house of God. They still sought guidance from the house of God. Now let's move on for just a minute here. So then went out to, in verse number 19 through verse number 22, they went out to the battle and Israel lost 22,000 men. My goodness gracious. Now, that is just about as many men as the Benjamites had. For them to destroy 22,000 men, now of course it doesn't tell us how many men had been taken of the Benjamites at this time. But 22,000 of the men of Israel had lost. Did they give up on God because they lost the first half of the battle? Absolutely not. They didn't give up on Him because they still had men left. Now get that right there. They didn't give up on God because they still had men left. Friends, don't give up on God until you run out of breath. You may have lost, amen, you may have lost the battle. You've often heard the saying that we lost the battle, but we did not lose the war. Amen. This is a picture, amen, of the Benjamites versus the Israelites. Even though they went to the house of God and God told them, amen, to send forth Judah first, send forth their praise first, amen, and then they come back to camp that night to know that they lost 22,000 men. They could have turned around and said, you know what, that trouble over there ain't big enough for us to even worry about. Let's just go home. Let's just forget about all this. No, they didn't do that because they had a purpose. Brothers and sisters, you have a purpose tonight. You have a purpose upon your life, amen. You have a purpose to fight in the battle of the army of God and win, amen, a victorious battle. They went again, verse number 23, they went again unto the house of the Lord and asked again if they should go, and He said, go. Even if the odds look to be against you, if God tells you to do something, you better do it no matter what man says. Anybody in here ever had God tell you to do something? And then when you get the confirmation from God to go ahead and do it, all of a sudden, you find all these different people coming out of the woodworks trying to discourage you, trying to tell you that, man, there is no way that you can do that. There is no way that you can accomplish that. There's no way, amen, in this world that you could ever do such a thing because you're too small, or maybe you're not smart enough. Maybe you're not pretty enough. Maybe you're not handsome enough. Whatever it is, people will try to discourage the work of God. God told them they could have set it home, Brother Stone. They could have set it home and forgot about the war and just laid over. But no, they knew they had a purpose. But most of all, they knew what God had told them. God told them to go, so they're going to go. When God tells you to go, you're going to have people come against you and tell you there's no way you can go. There's no way that you can go because of financial difficulties. There's no way you can go because of health issues. There's no way you can go, amen, because of certain circumstances that have befallen you. But if God said it, you better believe, amen, that He's going to sustain you enough to go, amen. So they went before the house of God. They prayed to God. No doubt they fasted before God. And God said, go. In verse number 24 and verse number 25, we get into day two of this battle. They went out again the second day, and the Benjamites cut down another 18,000 men of their army. At this time, this would leave them a number of 360,000 more men to go with. 360,000 men compared to 226,700 men at this time. So the Israelites went to the house of God and they wept. They fasted the evening of the second day and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. After all this, they went to the Ark of the Covenant and inquired of God again to see if they should go up or hold back. And the Lord said, "Go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into your hand." So many times we hold back. So many times whenever we lose and we lose and we lose, the devil likes to tell us and likes to make us think, what's the point in even going on? I've got your number. Why do you want to keep coming back and getting beat again? I don't know about you, but we recently, every now and then, we'll watch the UFC fights. And I mean, there'll be two guys in a ring, there'll be two girls in a ring, and they are going at it for blood. They're going at it, amen, to try to kill one another if possible. And I'm thinking, how in the world can a guy, amen, that's on a losing streak just keep going back, just to get his head beat in, just to fight another fight? I can just imagine that's the way the Israelites right now are thinking. Why are we going back? Their men are probably telling them, I'm not going any longer. I don't want to go. This battle is too hard. They're a lot stronger than we are. I don't know why you want to keep going on. Because God tells us to. So many times we'll lose sometimes battle after battle after battle. And the reason why we so many times lose battle after battle after battle is because we've not given it all to God. We've not given everything that God wants from us. So therefore, we're lacking things from God. But when God says to go, He's going to equip you with the things that you need, with the tools, with the ministry, with the discipleship that you need in order to go another round. You may be fighting, you may be tonight, this afternoon, whatever this time of day is, amen. You might be battling with sickness. You might be battling with financial difficulties. You may be bound by something, but you're trying to get over it and you're trying to get through it as much as and as best as you can. But friend, let me tell you something tonight. God is telling us to go and fight the good fight of faith. He says when you get knocked down, you get yourself back up. It's not how many times you get knocked down, but it's how many times you get back up. No matter how many times the devil beats you down, no matter how many times he tells you that you're unworthy, no matter how many times he tells you that you're worthless and you're useless and you aren't going to amount to anything, do you realize where you came from and you aren't much better than what you are back then than now? He'll try to tell you those things. He'll try to bring up your past. When he tries to bring up your past, you just inform him about his future, amen. Because you and I, amen, are the we are victorious through Christ Jesus. Although the Israelites couldn't see that, how many know sometimes we can't see the future? How many know sometimes we don't know the outcome of the battle? Sometimes we're just going in blinded without seeing anything. But know that if God is in it, know that if God is with you, there's no one that can stand against Him. Know that if you are clothed, amen, David of old, I love the story of David. David went before Saul. He said, Saul, he said, this man named Goliath, he's defiling the armies of God. He's cursing them. He's cursing God to his face. He's mocking God. He's just cursing God. And he said, you may back off, but I'll not stand and let somebody curse my God. And so he said, you're but a youth. There's nothing that you can do. This man, he's a man of valor from his youth, but you are nothing but a lowly shepherd boy. But David said, Saul, let me remind you of a few things. Let me give you a little school lesson here. Let me take you to school for just a moment here. Let me tell you what God has done for me. He said, I'm out in the fields every single day watching my father's sheep. And he said, all of a sudden one day, there came a bear and snatched up one of my lambs. And he said, did I sit there and do nothing? He said, absolutely not. He said, I tracked it down. I grabbed it and I killed the bear with my bare hands. He said, another time, there came a lion. He said, and I tracked the lion down, grabbed him by his mane, killed him, and saved the lamb. Because God was with me. And so Saul said, son, if you think you can do it, then I'm not going to hold you back. I'm not going to tell you not to. So he said, go. So Saul gave David his armor. And he put it on and he went to run out to battle, but he seen that he just couldn't wear the armor because he had not yet proved it. Or in other words, he was not fit for the armor. So he took it off. Why did he take it off? Because he knew someone was greater than the armor that we had on. You have someone greater on your side than any weapon. The Bible said we fight not with flesh and blood. We don't fight with mortal weapons. We don't fight with our fists. We don't beat each other up. Each other are not our enemies. But you fight, amen, with spiritual warfare. You fight, amen, with the name of Jesus, with the Word of God. Somebody needs to hear this today. You aren't fighting this battle alone. You've got weapons that you have not yet dug into yet. So this year, you're going to go through a battle. And when the battle seems hopeless, when there's no hope at all left in the battle whatsoever, and you feel like giving up, you keep fighting. You don't give up whatsoever. Until you've taken your last breath, don't you dare give up. Don't you dare give in. Because that's exactly what the devil wants us to make, wants us to think, wants us to do, is give up and give in. When 2017 is going to hold so many blessings for you, it's going to hold so many great things of God in your life. The devil wants you to give up before it even begins. Don't give up. You just keep going. But the Bible said that the Israelites, they went up, amen, at day two. They went up on the second day and they cut down another 18,000 men, which leaves them 360,000 more men. The Israelites went to the house of God. They wept. They fasted the evening of the second day and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings and all of this stuff. And then they went to the place where the Ark of the Covenant was and inquired of God. And God said to them, you should go up and not hold back. For the Lord said, go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into your hands. After the promise of God, they went up. They went and set up the plan to ambush the Benjamites. And the children of Benjamin said, they are defeated before us as at first. You ever had the devil come to tell you that? When you lost the battle the first time, when you lost the battle the second day, and you go back out against him and he tells you, do you not recall what I did to you the day before? Do you not recall what I did to you? Amen. The first day. I remember as a kid, I used to be what they would call a punk. I had two older brothers. My oldest brother, he's pretty much well built. He's a lot bigger than I am. And I would go up, and I thought I was a big shot. And I would go up, and I would mouth him, and I would aggravate him. And so finally, what he would do is he would go and he would beat me up, or he would thump me, or make me cry. He would do something to hurt me. But did that stop me? Absolutely not. I would go back again. And he would do it again. And when I would go back the third time, he'd say, man, aren't you tired of getting beat? Aren't you tired of getting hurt? Aren't you tired of me doing this to you? So many times the devil wants to make us think that just because he's beat us the first time, the second time, that that's the way it's going to be over and over and over. But I got news for you this morning, this evening. Just because the devil has beat you the first time and the second time doesn't mean that God's not going to show up the third time. Don't give up. Always keep going. Don't give up. There was a professor went to this college and he was supposed to prepare this big message and this big presentation and give it to the students, and they turned it over to the professor, and the professor walked out and all he said to him was, never give up, never give up, never give up. Turned around, walked off the stage, and that was all he ever said. What a statement that is. Never give up. Never give up. Never give up. Grew up playing sports all my life. Grew up playing baseball all my life. And Dad always taught us, as he coached us throughout our years, he would always tell us, he said, son, there's always 7 innings to a ball game. He said, you're never out until the last out is given in the seventh inning. He said, I don't care if you're down by 7 runs going into the second inning, if you're down by 10 runs going into the seventh inning, if you're down by 5 runs, if you're down by 2 runs, he said, well, I don't care what it is. And he said, don't you ever lose heart. You keep playing. You keep pushing. You keep going. You keep doing what you know to do, and it will pay off. So many times we were down, by a landslide, but because we had faith, because we had heart, because we had determination that we wasn't going to let no score, no other team, no opponent come against us and to try to make us lose, that gave us victory more times than not. Because they had heart. Because the Israelites had heart, because they knew where their heart was. Do you know where your heart is today? Is your heart in the right place? Because the only way that we're going to win battles, Pastor, is if our heart's in the right place. Not your talk, not your walk, but your heart. Because if your walk and your talk are in a separate place than your heart, you'll never amount to anything. But if your heart, amen, is in line and is in the right place, your walk and your talk will line up with it. So don't you ever give up. You keep fighting. Even though the battle seemed hopeless for the Israelites, after they lost all those men going to battle with just 26,700 men, they never gave up. They still went back to the house of God. But in verse number 32, but the children of Israel said, let us flee and draw them from their city to the highways. Now in verse number 32, here's something very important. The Israelites had the plan that they were going to lead them away from all their resources. Now listen to this. Don't let the devil lead you away from your resources. If he can lead you away from your resources, you will be defeated. You know what your resources are as a child of God? This right here. Not an iPad, but the Bible. That's your resource. Your resource is getting down on your knees in the Spirit of God and begin to pray. Your resources, amen, is what you're doing on a 21-day fast, fasting and praying. Those are your resources. God is your commanding chief officer, and He will provide all of your resources. Verse number 33 through verse number 35. So listen to this. So all the men of Israel rose, amen, from their place and put themselves in battle array to Baal Tamar. Then Israel's men in ambush burst forth from their position in the plain of Geba. And 10,000 select men from all Israel came against Gibeah. And the battle was fierce, but the Benjamites did not know that disaster was upon them. The Lord defeated Benjamin before Israel, and the children of Israel destroyed that day 25,100 Benjamites. All those drew the sword. Here we find that the plan of Israel being carried out, and it being carried out quite well. It's all coming together. When you and I put all of our faith in God, your plan, the plan of God for your life, will all come into play. It will all wrap up together, and you will finally see it come into play. I have a real good friend of mine, and he come to me one day, and he said, Ron, he said, I just don't know what to do anymore. He said, I've tried everything. He said, I don't know. He said, I just don't get it. He said, it's like I can't put the final piece of the puzzle together. I said, do you know why you can't put the final piece together on your life? He looked at me and said, no, I don't know why. I said, because the final piece of the puzzle is not yours to put in place. So many times we try to put our own life together. Our own life's puzzle together. And sometimes it just won't fit right. The reason why it don't fit right is because you got the wrong piece in the wrong place. So many times we have the wrong piece put in the wrong place. If we put everything in God's hand, I told him, then everything will fall into place. I said, if you would only get into church, if you would only start paying your tithes and your offerings to your church, I said, you will see your life turn around. He said, man, I just can't, my language, he said, I just can't quit. I said, here, I'll tell you what, I want to give you a piece of advice. I said, when you wake up and when you step out of bed and the first word that comes out of your mouth is a cuss word, I want you to go back to where you first started at that morning. Kneel down and ask God to forgive you and to help you through that day. And look back on your day at the end of it and just see exactly how far you've came. A week rolled around and I asked him, I said, how's things going? He said, man, you have helped me tremendously. Going back to where I first started from in the morning time and asking God's help, asking God's direction, asking God to help me with my language. He said, I've started church, and he said, things are getting much better. If you would only get in church, things will get much better. If you will only start giving to God of your time, not only your time, but give your money to God. I'll tell you like I told the church, I told our church, I said, don't worry, when you give your money to the church, you don't worry what the pastor or the people do with the money. I said, because once you give it to the church, you're not giving it to the church, you're giving it to God. So therefore, it's not your money to begin with. Once you give it out of your hands, it's no longer your money, but it is God's money. And if they, and no, I'm not saying your pastor does because I know he doesn't, but if a church or a pastor or a secretary does something bad with your money, God will get them. They are held accountable. Pastors are held accountable. Secretaries are held accountable, not by the pastor, but by God on the way that they spend the money that's given to the ministry. So don't give up. Don't get mad. Just trust in God. Just trust in God. And so finally we see here, the Israelites wouldn't attack until they saw the city of Gibeah going up into flames. And when the Benjamites saw the Israelites, they began to attack and they killed 30 men about that time. And they said, surely they are defeated before us as in the first battle. But about that time, the flames and smoke began to rise up in the city of Gibeah. And the Bible said that they knew defeat was upon them. They knew defeat was upon them. So they ran toward the wilderness and the highway and towards Gittim. But the Israelites caught them and killed them. Although the battle seems hopeless the first 2 days, they never quit fighting. If they would have given up and quit fighting, they would for sure have been defeated. Know this one thing. If you give up, you are defeated. But if you keep fighting, you still have a fighting chance. If you just give up, you're already defeated. But if you put forth a fight and you keep fighting, there's a chance that the enemy will make a mistake. And the Benjamites made a mistake. They had too much pride. They had too much arrogancy. Because they defeated them the first day and the second day, they thought they had them. But because the enemy made a mistake, the Israelites took advantage of that. If they would have listened to the enemy's chants about them losing the first day and the second day, they would have gotten discouraged, but they kept on keeping on. You keep on keeping on no matter what. You keep on keeping on. I want to encourage you, don't quit fighting because victory is on its way. Victory is on its way in 2017 on your behalf. On each and every one of you that's in here, if you've got breath in your body, victory is on the way for you. God is taking care of the battle for you. It may take a day. It may take 3 days, such as it was for Jesus' case in the tomb when he rose from the dead. It may take 4 days, such as it was for Lazarus' case. It may take a week, and who knows, it may take 21 days, such as it was for Daniel's case. No matter how long it takes, don't give up because victory is on the way. When the battle seems hopeless, don't you give up because victory is on its way. Just because the battle looks hopeless, it looks like you're fighting a losing battle, don't you ever give up. Don't you ever give up. Don't you ever give up. If you be a child of God, God never created a loser. God never created a quitter. We quit on our own case, in our own behalf. But God never created a quitter. And he for sure never created a loser. So this evening, I want you to remember that. In 2017, whenever you go and you're fighting a battle, I want you to remember back on January the 8th, even though the Israelites, even though they were fighting a losing battle, they never gave up. Stand with me today. Hallelujah. Maybe you're here this afternoon.